Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Welcome back to the IL Preps Podcast. I am Terry Foy, joined as always by Ty Zanders, and this is take two, Ty. We recorded on Friday afternoon coming back from Adrenaline Black Card in my car before you hit the, I guess, friendly skies en route to Long Island, going to the NLF main event. But unfortunately, that podcast did not work out. We dealt with some audio issues. The positive side, the bright side, is that now we can talk about a trio is three, a quartet is four. If it's seven, is that like a septet? Does that sound right? Something like that?
Yeah, that's probably right there.
Yeah, so we have a septet of state championships to talk about, four from New York, and then Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Connecticut. An amazing weekend in high school lacrosse. And let's start right there. To me, the headline result was the Darien Blue Wave falling 9-8 to Ridgefield in the Connecticut state championship, their first loss since 2015. Remarkable result for Coach Roy Colsey and his team.
Yeah, I think everyone was really caught off guard with that one. Darien had just been riding a ridiculous winning streak, had not lost since I think it was 2015. String of 76 victories. So for Ridgefield to go up like they did, I think it was 9-3 at one point and ultimately won 9-8. They won ugly. And there's no doubt about that. From what I gather, they have it had a 7.5 minute possession at one point. And I have to imagine the crowd wasn't too happy with what was in front of them, but yeah, hats off to the Tigers. I think they don't really care, the fashion in which they won. But to hand the Blue Wave their first loss in a state championship, I think they'd won five straight crowns, it says a lot about that coaching job and those guys. So hats off to Colsey and the Tigers.
And what's more impressive is that they had, lost a Fairfield County rivalry 11-6 against Darien on May 12th. So to be able to turn that around, get back on track, and pull out the W to end the season is certainly a remarkable kind of accomplishment and a suggestion of, like, how you just got to keep trucking.
Yeah, and it seems like everyone had tried to execute a very similar game plan, really take the air out of the ball and slow things down and don't let Darien's weapons, have the ball. And I think Ridgefield certainly did it best and, ended up on top.
Anything about any of the players from this game stand out?
Intriguing to see Weston Carpenter, really have a big game. I've watched him a lot with Express North over the years. He had four goals. He's uncommitted as far as I know. And, I know Greg Gatto was a kid that I'm very high on. And from what I gathered, he was shut off and he was left off of the scoring sheet. But really just a team effort there.
Ridgefield ends their season 16-5. An incredible, like I said, four-game win streak through the Class L playoffs. Moving down, 95, a little bit into the Garden State. Del Barton, 12-6 victors over Summit.
Yeah, I got to watch Del Barton a couple times this year and talked to some coaches this weekend that they got to watch the Green Wave, and they said a lot about what they saw out of Del Barton. I know that Summit has their patented, defense, zone defense oftentimes, and, for the Green Wave to go out there and knock them off pretty handily, is impressive. I think Matt Campbell is the guy that, kind of is the straw that stirs the drink for them, and he's off to Villanova. And what's interesting is that, in my estimation, I think that it could be a first line next year at Villanova that is comprised entirely of Del Barton grads, between Colin Kirst and Colin Crowley, and then Matt Campbell, of course, offensive coordinator, Simon Connor, a Del Barton alum himself. But, the Green Wave started with six straight goals to kick off the first quarter and never look back. And, I think that they have a pretty strong case for number one. And we'll see on Wednesday where they end up in the Under Armour rankings. But really impressive win for them. Matt Kovacic, of course, taking over this year for Chuck Rubling. who handed the reins over to his longtime assistant coach. And, just a phenomenal year for Del Barton. They knocked off St. Anthony's and Chaminade earlier this year, avenged their only loss of the year in the playoffs. And, a pretty impressive dynasty for the most part, the Green Wave, Kerry.
Heading a little bit west to the Keystone State, Manhattan Township 6, LaSalle 4 for the PIAA State Championship.
You could make the argument this was the most eyebrow-raising win result of the weekend. Obviously, Darien going down is huge, but in terms of what it means for the sport regionally, for the first state championship, first state title for a team west of Philadelphia to be captured by the Blue Streaks. It's pretty incredible. I think that if you look at what they have on paper, they have some great top 100 recruits and Caton Johnson, a keeper, who I think finished with 11 saves, and then Grayson Salday, who will head off to Virginia, Caton Johnson, a Carolina recruit. It's a nice little twosome for them that we've watched over the years in the club circuit, and then Bryce Hutchinson, a Jacksonville recruit. There's a really strong nucleus, but to knock off LaSalle and to hold them to 4 goals is definitely interesting. Did not expect that. Certainly a big upset, and I think that Mannheim will also make a pretty strong case for a top 25 inclusion, no doubt, when we release those rankings. But pretty cool for lacrosse in that state.
Heading north to the New York State Championships, which were hosted at St. John Fisher College in the Rochester area. Start with Class A. Mike Messer's career as head coach ends with a 15-2 loss to Ward Melville, as the West Genesee Wildcats are unable to add another state championship to their overflowing trophy case.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were excited to see that Mike Messier would go out. West Genesee would match up with Ward Melville for what feels like the millionth time in the New York State title game. And it definitely got ugly. I think that Ward Melville was able to flex their muscles a significant amount. Matt Grillo led the way for them. He's a Providence recruit. And, really like their defense. They have a number of players that have caught my eye over the last year or so. Colin Krieg, a sophomore in goal, who had a very strong day. Ward Melville, of course, the number one team in the country. That 15-2 decision will probably solidify their spot as number one. And, the Patriots were able to avenge their only season, their only loss of the season, earlier in the Suffolk County playoffs against Half Hollow Hills East, and just a really impressive resume.
You mentioned the extended possessions and potentially slow pace of play in that Ridgefield-Darien game, which is why, for me, the Class B State Championship, Garden City 7, Victor 6, was the game of the weekend.
Yeah, I didn't fully expect that, and I know that looking back to the downstate finals, the state semifinals on Wednesday, to see Garden City just blow out John Jay kind of caught me off guard. And then, this one, really strong day for Justin Coppola. He's a Villanova recruit, and he led the way. I think he lost maybe 2 or 3 draws all day. And James Basile, a junior, I think scored with under 2 seconds left, maybe 1.2 seconds left, it looks like, to give them a 7-6 win. Victor playing somewhat of a home game in the Rochester area. And they'd won 3 state championships in the last few years. And, I've seen Garden City play for a number of years. I think they were our national champions back in 2012 when they had Devin Dwyer and Dan Marino, some Under Armour All-Americans. But, the Trojans are back. I think they won again in 2013, actually. So, I think that was probably the most interesting result of the state championship games on Saturday. For Victor to score that goal to tie things with 8.5 seconds left, win the faceoff, get it to Basile for the winner. What a wild one.
And in Class C, Islip, 9-3 victors over West Hill. And in Class D, Pleasantville, 16-2 winners over Penn Yan. It was a good day for Long Island out there in Rochester.
Yeah, Long Island swept in A, B, and C. We'll get to Class D shortly. Mike Bienkowski, an Army recruit, had a whopping 6 goals in the 9-3 victory over West Hill from Section 3. And, yeah, I mean, Islip's first state title in school history. Really, really strong year for them. I got to watch a little bit of their games this year and liked what they had in offense. Just really steady team, hard-nosed, and, you know, played a fun brand of lacrosse.
And in Class D, you see a Section 1 victory over that the squad from Penn Yan.
Yeah, not a huge shock there. Do not know a whole lot about West Hill, but following Pleasantville this year, they have a really strong 1-2 punch of Declan McDermott, a Georgetown recruit, and Brian Rita, who broke a record, I think finished his career with 398 points all time. McDermott, 298. So, yeah, not a huge shock. And, you know, like what they've had over the years, and they put things together and won a title. So, yeah, definitely another big result in New York.
But the high school action was only a part of this past weekend. As I mentioned, we were all over the place on the recruiting trail. On Friday, you and I were at Adrenaline Black Card. Saturday, Sunday, Dan Abern was at Platinum Cup. On Saturday, I was at Baltimore Summer Kickoff. Matt Chandick was at the individual showcase event leading into the NLF main event on Friday. And then you were at the main event Saturday, Sunday. So probably... I'm gonna casually guess we saw 2,500 high school lacrosse players between the four of us over the course of the weekend. It was a lot of action.
Yeah, it really felt like the first big weekend of the recruiting circuit. No disrespect meant to last weekend's events, but you had some big tournaments all over the map. Really enjoyed getting back out there in Long Island and watch some top teams from the NLF. And, yeah, I think for the most part, it was all the usual suspects that I expected to play well. And really fun to see this 2020 group and see how much they grew and play with more confidence after, you know, having pretty strong roles during the high school season. So check back later this week for a look at the standouts. But just a loaded weekend overall.
And in addition to that, we have Under Armour tryouts. I believe four of the rosters have been announced on the boys' side, West, South, Southwest, and Baltimore. Baltimore roster being announced most recently. You and Dan were at the tryouts. There will be content coming away from that, as well as Patrick McEwen will be at the Midwest tryouts this week, and Ken Stockman will be at the Upstate New York tryouts. So continue to plow ahead. And then, of course, we are 1 week away from the beginning of the Inside Lacrosse Recruiting Invitational June session. Make sure to check out IL.com as you can find the club corners spotlighting the participating programs in our June session. I believe on Monday, Road Warriors and Edge went live. We're really excited about all the teams that are coming that we're going to get eyes on for session one. Ty, one of the other pieces of recruiting content that recently went or is going live is your spotlight on Yale's recruiting strategy. The national champions certainly have a lot of unique challenges that they have to deal with, whether it be the admission standards at a program or a university with as much prestige as Yale, but then also really tries to attract a certain type of player based on the way that Coach Andy Shea and his staff like to coach. Tell us a little bit more about that story and that strategy.
Yeah, I think over the years I've been fascinated with the brand of lacrosse and the style of recruiting that they've kind of employed. And, you know, there's no doubt that they look for certain qualities in players. They want a hard-nosed, multi-sport athlete, you know, a kid that passes the eye test, you know, coming off the bus. And they had a lot of those types of players on their roster, guys like Tyler Warner and, you know, Jason Alessi and Connor Mackey. Chris Keating, just brute forces on either side of the ball that really propelled them to the championship. And it was fun to kind of talk to that whole staff for extended periods of time and get a better sense of what they look for and what they covet. And, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that they may kind of have a different style, a different strategy when they're going after players, and they'll kind of let them know, like, look, like, things will not be easy. You'll be tested. It'll be a grind. We're going to yell at you, but we're gonna be the best, you know, the best out of you. And, you know, I think I really just enjoyed talking to those guys and having them just kind of be honest in the way they did things. So, yeah, it was fun. I think that a lot goes into how they recruit. And there's no doubt that it's a little bit different from the other Ivy Leagues, kind of going against the grain in terms of what people expect from a team in that conference. You know, they look more like a Big Ten player. So just a fun piece to put together. I'm pumped to have all you guys read it. And I know it's a program that you follow pretty closely, so I know that I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, how they recruit going forward. That more eyes will be on, you know, I think more people will be attracted to that style of play after they were on TV for a few straight weeks.
It's amazing because you think about all that Yale and some similar programs can offer to a prospective student athlete. And then if you can offer the chance to compete for a national championship, that's bona fide. It's not speculated. They won a championship. They can offer that and have a totally straight face. The question is, who's going to say no? Who would say no to that? And if so, the new challenge is less making sure that it's you're getting the best possible talent, and it's more because you can kind of assume that you're going to be able to get the best possible talent now because of those offerings. The challenge is making sure that you are getting the right fit and that you're not bringing in players who aren't going to boost your culture. And I'm fascinated. The problem is they're 6 or 7 years away from having bona fide returns on what that entails, because, you know, the youngest player that is going to commit in the wake of Yale winning a national championship is 6 years away from being a senior in college and being able to look back at the entirety of his collegiate legacy and say, we made the right choice. We're glad that we brought him into our program, or we're not. And it can be a slow ship to turn in that regard.
Yeah. And I think that they'll have some players that I think, you know, reach out to them that are probably committed to other schools that may not fit their brand, you know, and you know, fit with what they want to do. And I think that I feel like they'll kind of stick with what got them there, you know, that blue collar, you know, kind of guy, and relying on some kids from Long Island and upstate New York. And I'm sure they'll get some more kids from Philly, but just really intriguing to see, you know, kind of get a really good idea of the way they do things and changing that culture. And when you combine what they offer academically, which it really just speaks for itself, they don't really have to pitch as much as the other high academic schools probably do. When you combine that with just that national championship trophy sitting in that office on a recruiting visit, yeah, I mean, how can you say no to that? So it'll be interesting to see how they fare going forward, especially given how phenomenal this class of 2020 is nationally. And, you know, they'll get some great commits, I'd have to imagine.
But it's not just them, because they've got a really good group in the 2018 class coming in. Arguably the best class in program history. There's a handful of Under Armour All-Americans, and it kind of starts with attackman Matt Brandau and faceoff specialist Joe Newman.
Yeah, and with this class, I think it's the most talent they've had. It's just the best top to bottom. And as you mentioned, we have Joe Newman and Sean Cotton.
I missed Sean Cotton. Yeah, how horrible of me. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think they fill some needs. I think people are probably questioning, you know, what they'll do without leadership and playmaking ability of Ben Reeves. But to get a kid like Brandau, who's proven in the MAA, and I don't think that he's the one that will just, like, carry the load for them. I think that they'll probably use him and maybe a kid like Brady McDermott or Thomas Bragg, two kids from upstate, you know, and really just, like, kind of ease them in the attack end. And then you combine a kid like Sean Cutton from Chaminade and Greg Gatto from Ridgefield, fresh off a title. Jack Oaken's a kid that I really like. He's from Brunswick School, not too far away from New Haven. And it's a little bit light on defense, a solid goalie, Miles Lanoue, another state champion. And it's, yeah, top to bottom, it's outstanding. And I know that I've been pouring over these different classes, kind of figuring out who will be the top-ranked class. And the Bulldogs are undoubtedly in the mix for that number one billing there.
make sure to check out all of these players' profiles on insidelacrosse.com/recruiting. And as Ty mentioned, it'll be fascinating to see how this continues to evolve and unfold as we move through the summer. Seems like they actually have a couple spots left, maybe in their 2019 class. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. And then obviously, as you mentioned, what it means when the 2020 class opens up in September. Ty, anything else you want to get to before we bring down this IL Preps recruiting podcast?
No, I know we've got a lot of coverage coming up these next couple days, and we'll be out in the fields next weekend. The IMLCA National Cup will be covered by Jeff Shannon. I will be at the Big Four Champions League, always one of my favorite events. And, yeah, we're really getting into things full swing. We're coming up on a pretty big stretch in the next few weeks between the IL Invitational. We've got Crab Feast, we've got Twi'lek Invitational, Maverick Showtime, Under Armour, so just a ton of top events between now and the dead period.
And we will be coming back with more IL Preps podcasts in the coming weeks. Make sure to follow at IL Preps on Twitter and Instagram. Follow at Ty Zanders and follow me at Terrence Foy on Twitter as well. We will try to keep you as informed as possible. If you like what you heard, please leave a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. And like I said, we will be back next week.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.